Well, find your notes, please, that are entitled Making the Most of Your Time. And with our notes in front of us and this topic in front of us, let's pray and ask for God's help. Lord, I thank you that we live in a country where we have the freedom together like this to study your word and to encourage one another openly without fear of reprisal. And I think of brothers and sisters in Christ all around the world right now who are suffering for the cause of Christ. And I pray your grace would be abundant in their lives, and I pray that their circumstances would be altered so that they could worship freely. And Father, help us to be good stewards of this kind of an opportunity that would be so easy for us to take for granted because it's just kind of a normal lifestyle for us. Help us to be good stewards. And Lord, I'd ask that you'd help me to be a good steward as I speak on this subject tonight. In Christ's name I pray, amen. By way of introduction, I want to say that I'm hoping to minister in this particular session to three particular groups of people. One would be for those of you that are living with a sense of being overwhelmed and feeling like your cup is full and overflowing time-wise. That's an experience that I've had frequently, and that's part of what has motivated me to be a student of time for many, many years. And I come to this subject tonight fresh from the battlefield. A second group is I want to speak to those of you that are in transition. And by being in transition, that could be any number of things. For some of you, you may be about to graduate from college and thinking about job opportunities. Or for some of you, you may be getting married, and that's a transition. There could be some of you that are bouncing back from a divorce and you're in a transition period. Some of you might be in a transition period in your church. A lot of you might be in a transition in your profession. Some of us find ourselves in transitions with our families. You know, we've been raising kids for 18, 22 years or so, and we're about ready to become empty nesters, and all of those produce transitions. And then third, I'm certainly aware that this is a biblical counseling training conference, and our goal is to help equip you to minister God's word to people that are hurting and struggling in different areas, and to do so with confidence and skill and compassion. And many of us have counselees that not all their problems, but a significant part of their problem is how they use their time. So I'm hoping that those three groups tonight would be helped. My key text is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 17. Notice what the scripture says. Verse 15 says, "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." The scripture in verse 15 is admonishing us, be careful how you walk. Why is there such a need for caution? You understand, of course, that the term walk is not talking about how we get around on our two feet. It's talking about the way you order your life. Be careful how you do that. Why the need for caution? Let me suggest multiple reasons. One reason we need to be careful how we order our life is due to the general pace of society. Did you realize that in the last 20 years, we've added 158 hours to our annual working time? Most of us have lived through the economic downturn of 2007, 2008, and so forth. And back then, we became very familiar with the term leaner and meaner. As companies cut their employment and then expected even more without extra pay from the people that still had a job. And those of us who have full-time jobs are working, studies show, an average of 158 hours a year more than a person who had a full-time job 20 years ago. In addition, studies indicate that at least 50% of the American adult population is chronically sleep-deprived. And I would urge you, that ought to be something that all of us as counselors are alert to when we're getting to know a new counselee. Think about this statement. Before Thomas Edison's invention of the electric light in 1879, most people slept 10 hours each night, a duration that we've just recently discovered is ideal for optimal performance. When activity no longer was limited by the day's natural light, sleep habits changed. Over the next century, we gradually reduced our total nightly sleep time by 20% to 8 hours per night. But that's not near the end of the story. Recent studies indicate that Americans now average 7 hours per night, approximately 2.5 hours less than ideal. Amazingly and foolishly, 1/3 of our population is sleeping less than 6 hours each night. Are we losing our minds? That's what sets the stage for pictures like that one. Well, one reason why you need to be careful how you order your life is just the general pace of society. I think another reason why we've got to be careful how we walk, how we order our life, how we use our time, is because of the challenges that are encountered living in a 2 Timothy 3, 1-5 society. 2 Timothy 3, 1-5 is a familiar passage. It says, "Realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come." Now, what follows is a description of culture in the last days. Culture, of course, is shaped by people's thinking and their acting. And the difficulty comes when you're being surrounded by people like what the scripture is about to describe. "In the last days, difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they've denied its power. Avoid such men as these." How many of you think we might be living in the last days? Yeah, a bunch of you. And even for those of you that didn't raise your hand, you have to admit we're at least 2,000 years closer to the last days than when he wrote this, right? Okay, and so the point is, as I read that list, I think it's describing a lot of our culture today. And I think what happens is, if you think of it this way, if what 2 Timothy 3, 1-5 is culture, and the flow of culture is going in this direction, those of us who are trying to live countercultural, because what was just listed is not the way God wants us to live, we're forever finding ourselves feeling like we're swimming upstream. And it makes life difficult. Here's some of the ways that I think living in a 2 Timothy 3, 1-5 impacts how we use our time and the impact on our schedules. For instance, I think many of us find it harder to keep our own lives progressing spiritually. I mean, just think about it. Do you struggle to get a quality time in the Word where you're not distracted and you can kind of center in on the Scriptures and meditate clearly? When was the last time you were able to read in a meaningful way multiple days in a row, something that fed your soul and ministered to you? Or let me just ask, when was the last time that you gave yourself to prayer and you're able to pray for 5 minutes without your mind going off on something? And I'm just talking about my struggles. And the point is, just with all that's going on in our lives, the pace of culture, what culture is like these days, our own spiritual lives are harder to maintain. I think also our major relationships are more difficult to maintain. When was the last time you had a 2 to 3 hour date with your spouse, where you didn't have to talk about problems or something? Not just our husbands and wives, but parents with children, close friends and so forth. Many people just tells me that, you know, it's just so hard to get with the people that are meaningful to me, but it's just so hard to connect. Here's another one. I think 2 Timothy 3, 1-5 is encouraging us to pay attention to how we order our lives, because sin complicates life and forces us to use time in ways that we do not desire. For example, if you've ever been driving the Nank van and had somebody break